This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
2 minutes after the hour, 1 o'clock, you are tuned in to the Power Zone right here on Power 98.7. I'm Katlego Legodi, your host, until the hour, 3 o'clock, right here on the show. Thank you to everyone that called in and contributed in the open line in the first hour of the show. We are in the second hour of the show, just starting the show, really, this morning on a sad note, where the story of a slain four-year-old baby, Bohabo Bo, is concerned. You know very well that all eyes still remain in terms of just the search right now for the remaining missing parts, where the family is also trying to find closure. And this is a matter that will also continue to play out in the courts. But yeah, thank you very much for calling in, and thank you very much for contributing where that is concerned. I told you guys that I have amazing guests with me on the show this morning. I told you that in the second hour of the show, we'll be just spreading the conversations divided amongst some of those guests of mine that will be coming through. Starting us off this morning is Koketso Mueti. Koketso is the executive director from Amandla.mobi. They've been doing a lot of work, and here they're coming through with a campaign that they're saying that put people before profit. And they're saying as well that the 350 grant recipients is just you know, some of those recipients, some of those people that should protest here against this grant, as it's not something that is sustainable. So Koketso will be telling us more about their campaign in a moment, and just letting us in really on the organization. How is it doing, of who they are, and how far have they come really in the issues that they tend to put forward? And we know very well that theirs is a very important organization in terms of putting pressure even on government, on the work that they do, and some of the issues that they tend to raise in terms of challenging as well the status quo. So you're welcome as well at home to join us, me and Koketso, between 1 o'clock and 1:30 on 0861 987 000. We are also on social media, so you're welcome to just engage with us. Hashtag is the hashtag PowerZone. I am at Katlego Legodi _. So you're welcome to just go there at Power FM 987 and try by all means to use that hashtag, hashtag PowerZone, and just weigh in as well on this conversation that we are about to have right now with Koketso. Let me welcome Koketso onto the show. Koketso, welcome to the PowerZone. Lovely having you on this morning, and I really, really am excited about the conversation that we are about to have, because it speaks directly to the issues that exist on the ground. We know very well that the cost of living has been too high. A lot of people have been in the receiving end of a sluggish economy that has not done well for quite some time, and we're seeing these interventions that are coming through even from government. If you, with this 350 grant is anything to go by, not serving, not helping really to serve in trying to attend to some of these challenges. Welcome to the show. Maybe let us in on Amandla.mobi. You're the executive director there, and I know very well that this is an organization that has been in existence for quite some time now, and you're still continuing and growing and doing amazing in the work that you do. Let us in. Maybe someone that doesn't know Amandla.mobi, who is Amandla.mobi? What do you guys do as an organization?
So Amandla.mobi is essentially a community of people working to turn every cell phone into a democracy building tool. We do this essentially so that we can build power, as Black people, particularly low-income Black women, right? So that our voices can have maximum input impact in terms of holding government and private interests accountable. So some of the issues we campaign on, the campaigns that we run, are on quite a range, whether the cost of communication through data must fall, the fact that the 350 grant should be increased and turned into a universal basic income grant, and of course the concerns that we have right now that our democracy has been taken over by profit and doesn't function in the interest of people, as a few examples.
I mean, yours is very important. And I mean, listening to you explain the work that you do, I see very well that you really, really are set on making sure that you you provide some sort of redress. You help in terms of bringing those that are marginalized, really, the attention to be brought to them. You're talking about building power as Black people, something that I guess has not been the case in the past. You've positioned yourself to become a solution maker where this is concerned.
Absolutely. We believe that when low-income Black women win, collectively as a society, we move forward, right? And so for us, we recognize that we are powerful when we act together. So we bring our community together in critical moments to take targeted, coordinated, and strategic action for a more just society. There's not a single organization or individual in this country that can change things on their own, right? And so we believe that true power comes from us acting as a collective and exercising our collective agency.
And I love the fact that you all speak to the economy. You know, it speaks to also the social challenges that tend to exist on the day. I mean, just mentioning the issue of data must fall, just mentioning the issue of the 350 grant that you're saying must be increased. It speaks to the day-to-day social challenges that are tied to the economy.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, we are facing right now, we're facing a massive crisis, right? We're watching as public transport costs and electricity prices, coupled with alarmingly high food prices, take a toll on households and the plates of family, right? It's quite clear that, one, food prices must fall, and that we need to reject that in a country that can feed everyone but doesn't, millions are able to go hungry. So food prices falling, increasing social grants, because we believe that dignity is inherent to all human beings, right? Yeah. A person has dignity just by virtue of being a human being, but we need this to be affirmed in the quality of life people lead. So ensuring that food is accessible, that people have households, have money that, you know, they are able to purchase this food with and meet their other needs with, and that food is accessible and affordable to everyone, is a part of affirming this dignity that we all have.
And when we look at it, when so in terms of the gap that used to exist between the haves and the have-nots, looking at where we are right now, where we were so excited in the fact that there's a rainbow nation and there's a new dispensation that is coming with its own opportunities. But I guess you know, organization like yours, Amandla.mobi, they tend to show us that there's still a lot to be done, as that gap still exists. It's even wider when one looks at it between the haves and the have-nots, and looking at the inequality gaps that exist.
Without a doubt. I mean, you know, everywhere you go, there's the triple challenge of inequality, unemployment, and poverty that is being spoken of in South Africa, right? And this gap is massive. We see it in the quality of life people are able to lead. We see it in the communities that are right next to each other, right? Whether Alexandra and Sandton, we see it in the quality of lives people are able to lead, in education, every aspect of our lives, where people live, what conditions you are born into, the trajectory of your life being so informed by the mistake of your birth, being born to a particular family in a particular community of a particular race, makes such a big difference in the trajectory of your life. And we are very clear that it should not be an accident of birth that being born Black in an informal settlement in certain conditions, therefore the trajectory of your life is hunger, it is poor living conditions, it is poor education, It is education that, you know, doesn't nurture and fulfill your talent, and all those kind of things. Yeah.
Yeah. And it doesn't help because when you look at it, the face of poverty, of inequality, it's still the face of a woman. When you look at it, when you look at how even over the years, there have been programs tried to be put in place to really address the gap, the parities where women, you know, more or less have been said to be left behind, you know, for quite some time. But when you look at it still here, especially looking at the work that you do, we're still seeing a woman, and not just a woman, but a black woman, still in the receiving end where some of these social issues are concerned.
Without a doubt. I mean, we can talk about the income disparities and the trajectory that households led by black women, for example, often take versus households that are not, right? Things like job access and so on. And again, with women tending to be the majority of private caregivers in the majority of households in the country, it means that when things fail, women bear the brunt of it all, right? So take the hunger and nutrition crisis that we're currently facing. Yeah. I mean, even before the pandemic, around 27% of children under 5 years were not growing as they should due to chronic undernourishment, right, which is getting worse. Yeah. We're seeing alarming increases on basic foods coupled with high unemployment levels, low wages, inconsistent and unaffordable electricity supply, and inadequate support for unemployed people, making turning the tide even more urgent. But it will be, it is women who are bearing the brunt of this. So even when we think about load shedding, right, and the costs of not having electricity, you know, from a safety perspective, from caring, being a primary caregiver perspective, it is women who are disproportionately burdened by the consequences thereof.
Yeah, and some of this laid bare by the prevalence of COVID-19. Hence, we saw the government trying to, you know, act. And one of those moves was to introduce this 350 grant. And this we've seen it just being rolled over, and even it, as early as July 2021, we were told that there was at least a commitment that the grant would be brought back, and it will remain until some sort of a commitment saying that even next year, going into early next year, would still be seeing this grant in existence. But yours is to take issue with this particular grant as you're seeing it as really putting people or taking people really for granted in terms of just how little grant could go to help one move or change their situation. Let us in on this campaign that you're running.
So, yes, in 2020, the social relief of this grant, 350 per month for unemployed people, was introduced, right? I mean, this is the first time we've seen that level of income support for unemployed people. And despite being woefully inadequate and the many administrative problems that have been faced in terms of accessing the grant, it has been a lifeline for millions of people in this country, right? Making a difference between whether some people get through a day or not. It's currently set to end in March 2023. Yeah. Now, what we saw earlier this year, as one example, is a means test, which saw more than half the applicants rejected, right? Yeah. Essentially, if you were receiving 350 Rand in your bank account, you were rejected from this grant because it was seen as another income. This had devastating consequences. I mean, we know that 350 is not enough to survive on, right? To get by. People need food, people need to pay rent, people need hygiene products, people need employment and are using the funds to look for employment and so on. Mm. So it is quite, and people are receiving money from for on behalf of people who don't have bank accounts anyway. So to say they are being cut off for merely having that small amount of money passing through their bank account was completely unacceptable and had really devastating consequences. Likewise, in April and May, we saw that fewer applications were accepted, you know. Again, cutting off what is a lifeline for millions of people. The consequences were dire. I remember one woman, Ginelwe, who got in touch with the Amanzi.mobi, explaining that she had taken food on credit at a spaza shop, right? Knowing that she would pay it off with the grant. When she was rejected, suddenly she couldn't pay it off and had no access to credit from the spaza shop that had been keeping her afloat for so long. Another person, Albie, based in Alberton, a 54-year-old man, you know, he lived in Johannesburg where before COVID he would get these odd jobs, right? Driving as a messenger and so on. He was getting the grant, which stopped in April this year. And then he didn't receive it for some time. This is a person who hadn't even received 350 in his bank account and has been unemployed since 2017, right? And what you're saying, he talks about how, you know, he once received a 200 rand from a friend to help him because the 350 will not cover food and his rent and his other living costs. But suddenly then he was cut off. To date, he struggled over the months. In August, he was approved. In September, his application has been notified as pending, but he still hasn't received the money, you know? It is completely unacceptable and devastating that people for whom such small amount is such a crucial lifeline could be treated with such disdain by the state.
I mean, you're right, Koget. So when you look at the administrative challenge that came through, especially on the second phase, I think the first round, a lot of people were, in the system and they thought really then the second phase of it all would be so smooth. But a lot of them just facing a lot of rejection, the system not allowing them to really in any way be active as they should. And when you look at it, a lot of people were expecting that since I was, in the system, for the first round, and then the system should be able to pick me up and I should be able to get the grant. But that was not the case here.
Absolutely. I mean, another difficulty that people face, right, is being unemployed. You've been unemployed for years. Mm. You once had a temporary job by government, right? Whether it was an EPWP or some kind of teaching assistant, that was quite a while ago. It's now over. Suddenly you can't access this grant because you are identified as working for the government when in fact the position you had was temporary, right? It was very long ago and now you are being blocked from receiving this. We also saw some challenges with caregivers receiving, and again, it was external forces that made a difference on this, right? Being eligible for this, because initially you were not considered to be eligible if you were receiving a child support care grant, for example. And the child support grant is about the child and caring for the child. But as a caregiver in your own right, you too should be surviving and getting by, right? And so there were difficulties. A lot of caregivers, again, primarily women, were initially excluded from receiving it. But again, these are administrative difficulties. These are not insurmountable. In fact, you know, it should be a matter of urgency that these are fixed as well, and that the grant is increased. The threshold that prevents people from receiving it is also increased, right? And then used as a pathway to a universal basic income grant, because surely we can see the need for it, but also it just proves that means testing as a condition of receiving the grant has a consequence of targeting people from being excluded, right? Which is not what we should be after.
And are those some of the cases that you've been getting, you know, as Amanda .mobi, and did that help in terms of you then maybe making a case, you know, before government where your campaign is concerned?
Yes, absolutely. So, yeah, these are just a few examples. We also did a survey, right, amongst the Amanda.mobi community that was really trying to understand what kind of difficulties people are facing when they have to get the grant or when they apply for the grant, for example, you know. This was just so that we could move towards, like, how can we better support and show that SASA, coupled with the Department of Social Development, should be acting on this. So for additional context, right, this was in October, and I should tell you that the responses are not nationally representative, but they are useful insight into, like, some of the problems people have faced. So more than half of those who had applied for the 350 grant were unsuccessful, right? A lot of them couldn't send their application or it was rejected due to a technical issue with SASA's system. A quarter of people, just over 24%, said no one answered when they phoned the SASA number. About 40% of people said they had to find or borrow money for airtime or data to apply. 44% of unemployed caregivers said SASA rejected their application due to UIF. Many who are unemployed had their 350 applications unfairly rejected. That's just a small sample of the reasons people gave and the difficulties that they were facing with the process, with the application and so on. But I go back to, these are things that can and should be fixed as a matter of urgency. What we should not allow is that people are a mere 350, an inadequate 350, right, is taken from people, which has served as a lifeline to so many, is just not paid up, particularly in a context where we have recently seen the reports, right, that ministers and people who earn really excessive and exorbitant amounts of money are having their lifestyles funded by us, you know, in terms of being cushioned against the cost of living for water and electricity, for example.
And I wanted to then ask you, because the bigger picture then points to the universal grant that you're calling for, something that would be some sort of a living wage for those that are not, you know, working or part of the employ. Where are you in more or less ensuring that that becomes some sort of a reality? Has there been some sort of an appetite also from government or the powers that be that kind of gives you an indication that this could soon be realized as something that that really is enforced here at home?
Absolutely. I mean, we heard the reports about the ANC's position on it, and the government has been speaking about it. There's been quite a number of organizations that are working on this and putting pressure in different ways, right? But there is an attempt to, there were some proposals that were made by Treasury, for example, which were unworkable and not the universal basic income grant in the form that we see it as best done. So there'll be a series of actions moving forward again, just to emphasize the importance and urgency of this matter. It is ridiculous that, it is completely unacceptable, again, that the cost of living, the increase in so many crises, has pushed many families, you know, to the brink, to the edge. And so this, coupled with food prices falling, coupled with a series of interventions, it's clear that it is urgently needed.
Yeah, no, most definitely. I mean, looking at the fact that the cost of living has really been so high, and a lot of people have been struggling to make ends meet. They've been struggling to try by all means to make an understanding of, you know, how this tends to affect them. And at least, you know, there are organizations like your Amandla.mobi that are doing the work, and then people can tend to really try by all means to make an understanding of just where to turn to when they need some sort of assistance. Is this an ongoing campaign? Would we be seeing demonstrations, or is something that really is happening, you know, as you know, behind closed doors, putting pressure on government? How is it shaped, this campaign?
Yeah, no, it is happening in different forms and actions. Mm-hmm. Just one example, the recently hosted Social Summit Sector, there was an action that was undertaken there forcing the Minister of Social Development, along with the Minister of Public Works and Public Health, to come out and address 350 grant recipients themselves. But the other major thing, and we keep going to another major campaign that we are running, is around industry interference, right? Yes. It is the food industry, which includes major supermarket and big businesses that process and package foods, also play a key role in sustaining hunger by influencing food availability and pricing, right? So it's not simply a matter of, you know, the state is not working or government isn't working.
Yeah.
It is also the reality that in a democracy, it is us, the people, who should be governing, right?
Yeah.
But currently what we are seeing is that profits are governing. We are watching big businesses in real time use their power to influence the decision-making processes of government. So using tactics like bullying, whining and dining to attempt to stop and delay taxes, better wages and cheaper medication, right? And it affects us. I mean, we saw it at the State Capture Commission and what emerged from there. We see it in the way they are playing with people's health, but also we see it in the fact that the cost of living and the affordability of food is something that is sustained. It's being unavailable by an industry that simply has so much power and is more interested in keeping its profits at the expense of people.
And Koketso, Michael wants to engage with us. Michael calling us on 0861-987-000, just wanting to just pick your brain on, especially around the issue of the 350 grant. Michael, calling from Mamelodi. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Yeah. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome, sir.
I have this problem with these rules of people not getting their 350 because of somebody has deposited money into your account. There are many reasons money can be deposited in my account.
Yeah.
There may be a funeral in Limpopo. It takes 350 a single trip. 350 a return trip. A relative may have to send me 700 rand only for transport. So actually, he will send me 8,000 rand. Because you can't just give a person exactly the money is going to pay in the tax. Then because of that, I will have to be cut off the 350. It doesn't make sense why people had to be cut for having received a certain amount of money. The government must face the fact that this person does not exist as an employee.
Yeah.
As long as this person does not exist as an employee, that means that person deserves that money.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you, Michael, calling us from Mamelodi. Thank you very much, my brother, for calling in. Kuketo, do you want to respond to Michael there on the fact that even the parameters around this issue, then they're really, really questionable, looking at the fact that people now were victimized over the fact that they are seeing some sort of money coming in and out of their account. It doesn't make sense how people were excluded from forming part of the new cohort or forming part of the new cycle of this grant because of certain issues like the money, the ins and the outs and the monies that are coming into your account.
Absolutely. I mean, we completely agree with what Michael has said, right? Mm. A 350 is not enough, and people need to be able to supplement it in other ways. I mean, it is so unthinkable that people were cut off for that. Mm. And as everybody, as different organizations and people raised the alarm about this, the department responded by increasing the cutoff to 624 rand, the threshold, which is so inadequate, right?
Yeah.
It is completely inadequate. People do need so much more. But I think one of the things that alarmed me was at the social summit sector, when Minister Lindiwe Zulu spoke, even in some of the commentary we have heard afterwards, is the complete disdain and divorcing from reality, right? As if this increase of the threshold was a favor, you know, as if it is something that should have been done in the first place. And, you know, we've now fixed it. It's like, but it has had consequences on people's lives, you know, and this is what happens in South Africa. Poor people are treated with disdain so regularly that not understanding the consequences of having cut off people from this lifeline of a grant does not feel like it has been adequately understood by those in power.
Yeah. And Kuketo, how do people actually get hold of you and your organization as we close? I know very well that there are a lot of people that would want to engage with you and actually just check the work that you do, particularly around this issue of the 350 grant. You mentioned a lot of things that you're doing, the food prices, the data prices. You've mentioned the issues there around also how private companies also tend to take shape here in putting profit first before the people. How do people get hold of you, Amanda.mobi, and join in on this mobilizing of making sure that this campaign becomes a success?
So we can be found on www.amandla.mobi. This will include links to our different social media platforms. And for the specific campaigns that we have been discussing today, these can be found on aweto.mobi. On the homepage, there'll be more information about why closed-door meetings between government and big business have to be stopped.
Yeah.
Increasing the 350 grand as well as the basic income grant as well.
Okay, so Mweti, thank you very much for coming through and just gracing us with your presence and your wisdom. And we can only wish you everything of the best as Amanda.mobi.
Thank you very much.
Awesome. Kuketo Mweti coming through there as the executive director at Amandla.mobi, just helping us make sense of their various campaigns that they are running, especially around issues of food prices, around issues of the 350 grant. You had Kuketo there talking about also the issues of data. The data must fall. They have various campaigns. Just go there, www.amandla.mobi.com and just get a sense of the work that they are doing.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.